Is everybody happy to be home this morning? Wow, about 10 of you. Are you happy to be home this morning? Okay. Okay. Quick question. How many people were here with us last week? We had a very interesting week. If you weren't with us, we had a power outage during the service. We went online after the service, found out that there was a squirrel that got caught up in this generator. You could go online. There was even a picture of the generator. Somebody was posting, well, where's the picture of the squirrel? We want to see the squirrel, okay? So anyway, that was what happened last week, and we had no power. But anyway, I was hoping that I could refer you to listen to next week's message or last week's message if you weren't here, because I think it's a very important message. Because what we did last week is we talked about the four views of you, and we're not talking about the front, the back, and the two side view of you. We're talking about the four views, and we said there's a public view of you. That's what you know about yourself and everyone else knows about because you've made it known. Also, there's this private side of you. Private view is what you only know about, but everybody or no one else knows about. That's your private view. And then there's this view of you called the blind view. And I think this is a very interesting view. And that's what everyone else knows about you except for who? You. For me. It's called a blind spot. And then we talked about God's view of you as where God sees things that other people don't see, you don't see. God has given you unlimited potential in the person of the Holy Spirit. I just want to ask a question because I hope we're not just preaching sermons. I hope we're preaching application. I grew up going to church. It's not just enough to go hear a sermon. And how did Mike do? Well, that week was good. He got an 8. That week was bad. He got a 4. That's ridiculous, folks. What we're trying to get after is we're trying to get after transformation. Amen? We're trying to get after lives being touched, lives being changed, people taking the word of God and responding to the word. James says if we're foolish, if all we do is listen, but he talks about how we need to go out and we need to be doers of the word. So my question, and you don't need to respond by a raised hand, but I want to ask you, did you have the courage this week to go to somebody and ask them the million-dollar question? Did you have the courage this week to ask anybody, do I have a blind spot? And they would probably start laughing. Because, of course, we all have blind spots, right? Everyone, you do, I do, we all have blind spots. And we need to have the courage to really address those blind spots. You really, really need to do that because it will help you and it will help you as an individual to grow. And it will also help you not to bring damage into other relationships, other people close to you, okay? So what we need to do is we need to follow the mantra of Nike. Let's go to the next slide. And everybody say, just do it. Just do it. So I just want to encourage you, please, find somebody that you trust. Find a good close friend. Make sure you deal with life's issues. Don't say, well, I don't know about it. That's not going to cause a problem. It's going to cause a problem. It probably already has. We need to deal with our blind spots. Is everybody cool? Say, I'm cool. Cool, okay? Well, anyway, let me just talk about this week. It's been a very, very interesting week. If you live in River Falls, a lot of you already know in advance what I'm going to be talking about, and that was last Monday afternoon, I received a phone call from one of my colleagues in ministry informing me that there was a student at the Meyer Middle School who had taken her own life right there on campus right during the school day. And we're not going to go into details. That's not important. The important thing is that this is a tragedy. And this is something that we need to pray about. This is families. These are real families, just like your family. And these are hurting people, and we need to pray for them. So can we do that this morning? This was a girl that had a mother. Well, I lived with her stepmother and her dad, and we just need to pray for them right now. Father, we just lift up this family to you this morning. And God, we just pray that your grace would be poured out beyond measure. God, I just pray that in this time of brokenness, that you would come and bring healing to broken hearts. Lord, I just pray, God, in this time of emptiness, that you would come and fill those hearts with your presence, with your power, with your provision. God, this is devastating. And God, I just pray, God, in the middle of this devastation, that your glory would be revealed, your power would be on display, that you would minister to these families, to these friends, to people who were impacted by this horrible situation. And Lord, we just lift up this family to you. In Jesus' name, help them to navigate through this winter season with the beauty of your grace and the beauty of your presence. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone together said, amen. Please keep that family in your prayers. immediately after this event occurred this last Monday afternoon, under the supervision of our superintendent and our principal at the Meyer Middle School, wonderful man. What they did is they put together a crisis management team, and they came up with a plan. How are we going to try to navigate through this situation at the school? So what they did is they said we're going to provide counselors from all the schools in River Falls. Even the University of River Falls had three counselors there, and they asked a handful of area pastors if they would make themselves available to spend time with the faculty and the students the very next morning. And it was a difficult time. I wouldn't call it a privilege because that's not what I call it. It was difficult. But we showed up there at 6:30, and we left about 11 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was a lot of talks with young people wondering how these type of things can happen. So it's a great tragedy, a very negative situation. And so throughout the week, I began to just process this. How does this happen? It's a very difficult thing. And I know it's going to take time to heal from. But through this whole process this week, there's this one important message that kept coming to my heart, that kept coming to my mind. And here's the important thing that I want to share with you this morning. And that is that it's very important that we have the support of other people. I just want you to get that again. In life, it's very important that we have the support of other people. See, I'm in my 50s, and I would say a lot of people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, we kind of grew up with this mentality that I can get through life alone. I'm strong. I'm a strong person. But I'm finding out in my life that that's kind of a silly way to live life, is trying to get through tough times alone. And I'm finding out that we need the support of other people. Is anybody hearing me this morning? We need the support of other people. We need the support of other people when we're going through difficult, dark hours. But we also need the support of other people. Listen up. And that is, if you're a person that you really want to reach your potential, if God has given you a dream, if God has given you a vision, and you want to reach the fullness in your life, I want to let you know you're not going to do that alone. You're not going to do that alone, but we all need other people. If you're going to reach the fullness of your potential, of the dream that God has placed in your heart, no one does that alone, but we need other people. I love what Pastor Rick Warren says. He says these words, "We are better together." Can we all say that together? We are better together. And I have found out one of the tactics of the devil is he tries to make us individuals, where we try to handle everything individually. We try to go through tough times individually. We try to succeed individually. But what I'm finding out is I hope I'm getting older, but not only older, but wiser, is that we are better together. We need other people. If we're going to reach our full potential, we don't do it alone. You need other people. Is everybody with me this morning? So what I want to do this morning is we're going to open our Bibles. So if you have your Bibles, find it this morning. And what I want to do is I want to look to the second book of the Bible, which is the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, we're going to read a story of how important it is that we have the support of other people. We're going to see this in a real-life person. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 17, and we're only going to read about 6 verses. I think we're going to begin in verse 8, and then we're going to conclude in verse 13. So Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through 13. And my heart's desire is, even last night praying for this morning, is that this will be a message that won't only be heard, but this will be a message that we respond to. That not only do we hear these words this morning, but I pray that as your life continues, that we'll begin to live out these words. Live out these words, okay? So we'll read from Exodus, but before we do, I just need to lay a foundation that helps you to understand the text more clearly. And that is, God's chosen people were who? They were the children of Israel. At one point in time in their history, they were captive in Egypt. The scriptures tell us they were captive for about 400 years. And in captivity, they begin to cry out to God. And the scriptures say specifically that God heard their cries. So as a result, what God did is he raised up a leader. And what was the leader's name? Everybody said, next picture. It wasn't Charlton Heston, by the way. The leader's name was what? Moses. So God says, Moses, he calls him out of the wilderness, out of the desert, and says, I want you to go into Egypt. I want you to go before Pharaoh. I want you to call for my people to be let release so they can go out and worship me, okay? So we know a part of that journey begins when Moses goes before Pharaoh. He performs signs, wonders, and miracles through the plagues. Finally, Pharaoh says, get on out of here, just leave. But there was a big obstacle between Egypt and the wilderness, and that was what? The next slide is that was the Red Sea. Does everybody know the story of the Red Sea? Here they are, they're facing the Red Sea. The enemy's behind them, pressing in on them. And the only thing ahead of them is this great water, this great sea. So what did Moses, like, what do I do? And God says, hey, Moses, raise up your arms with the staff of God in your hand. He raises up his arms, and it says that the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea as though they were walking on dry ground. Isn't that incredible? How many people know God does incredible things? So what they do is they walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. They make it through safely. Then when the enemy in there, the waters close up. And what happens as soon as they get through the Red Sea is they enter into a period or into a place called the wilderness. Has everybody heard that terminology before, the wilderness? They enter into the wilderness. And one of the very first places, one of the first places they camp out when they get to the wilderness is an area called Rephidim. That's how you say that in Hebrew. That's the Rephidim. And what that is that's a place that was one of their first stops. So they're just new out of captivity, fresh from the Exodus. And it's there they're going to face their first problem, because life is a series of problems. And one of their first problems is there's a group of people called the Amalekites. And the Amalekites want to fight them. They want to go to battle against them. So that's the text. That's the context. Now let's read the passage, okay? So remember, they're fresh out of Egypt, but now they face their first enemy, the Amalekites, who want to go to battle. Verse 8, let's read it. You can follow along on the screen. It says, well, the people of Israel were still in Rephidim. The warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow, I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. Verse 10. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff of God in his hands, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hands and the staff of God, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them in the air. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset. And then verse 13, we get the result. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of the Amalekites in battle. Let's pray. Father, be in these next few minutes. Give us ears to hear. And I just pray, God, that this would be a God moment in the life of people. That this would be a day of change. This would be a day of transition. This would be a day where we're not going to try to do life on our own, but we're going to involve other people. And God, I just pray, speak to us. Speak to the strongest willed person. I just pray, God, that there would be a breakthrough in this room this morning. God, I pray that these would be divine moments in your presence this morning. And it's in Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen. So in our text this morning, we pick up the story. The children of Egypt are facing a big time challenge. And the challenge is that these trained warriors of the Amalekites are coming to attack them. Okay? So Moses, as the leader, has to respond. And what's his response? He calls to a guy named Joshua. This is the first time in Scripture we hear of this Joshua. We know later he'll be Moses' predecessor. But Joshua, he says, hey, Joshua, go find some men who are going to go out and fight against the Amalekites. He's saying, hey, go form an army because we got to take care of this issue. So that's what you're going to do. And then he tells Joshua what he's going to do. He says, I'm going to go and stand on the top of that hill. I don't know about you, if I'm like Joshua, I'm like, oh, really, Moses, on top of the hill? Good, wow, you sure picked a great job, you know what I mean? So it's there that I'm going to stand on top of this hill, okay? And I'm on top of that hill, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold up the staff of God. By the way, this is the staff of God, the official staff of God, okay? Okay. So what I'm going to do when you're out there fighting, I'm going to be on the hilltop. And what I'm going to do when I'm up there is I'm going to hold up the staff of God. Okay, so let's stop for a minute. What does the staff of God represent? It represents three things, and they all start with the letter P. The staff of God represents the power of God, it represents the presence of God, and it represents the provision of God. So we need to know that when Moses had the staff of God, it represented the power, the presence, and the provision of God. For example, when he went before Pharaoh, remember the story? He threw down the staff of God and it turned into what? A serpent. By the way, the other people did the same thing. The magicians did that. And by the way, how many people know Moses' staff, snake ate their snake? That's the power of God. Also, we know when Moses went above to the Red Sea and it was closed up, he stood there and he raised his hands with the staff of God. And what happened? The waters opened. Why? Because there was power and presence and provision in the staff of God. We know that in this same chapter, chapter 17, they're in the wilderness and they're facing this big problem right away, and that is they're thirsty. And here's the problem. They didn't have a water source. Does anybody know the story? So what did God tell Moses to do? Does anybody know? He said, Moses, take the staff and strike a rock. And what happened? The rock began to spew out water. And they had an abundant supply to everyone could drink, all the cattle, all the animals, all the people could drink. Why? Because there's power, there's presence, and there's provision in the staff of God. So this was Moses' right hand. Right here was God in the form of a staff. By the way, I do want to say this. Do you realize that everybody who professes Christ, we all have the power and the provision and the presence of God in our lives, but it's not in the form of a staff, but it's in form of what? The person of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So just as Moses had this power, provision, and presence, if you're professed Jesus Christ as your Lord, you have that same power, presence, and provision available to you in your life in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is a really, really, really cool thing. So when Moses held up his arms with the staff of God in his hands, okay, what happened in the battlefield? The Israelites gained the advantage. So when he's up there holding the staff, guess what? Advantage Israel. But here's the problem. When he would lower his arms with the staff, it would be advantage who? The Amalekites. So there would be this big, big change going on regarding if Moses was able to hold up his hands or not. By the way, has anybody ever tried to hold up your arms, your hands for an extended period of time? Has anybody ever done that? Can we do it right now? Let's see who lasts the longest, okay? Everybody on three, right? No, we won't do that. Anyway, how many people know it's difficult to raise your arms, your hands for an extended period of time? I mean, verse 12 makes it very clear that Moses' arms became so tired that he could no longer hold them up. So the bad news is, hey, we're losing. Out on the battlefield, we're losing because you can't hold up your arms. Okay, I want you to see this morning. But here's the good news, and that is the good news is Moses is not alone. I want you to hear that very clearly this morning. Say that to yourself, not out loud. Moses is not alone. I want everybody to hear that today, and I know I'm becoming redundant, but I want you to get this morning. I want you not only to get it this morning, but to live it out the rest of your life. Moses was not alone. What did Moses have? He had his brother named Aaron, and we're also introduced to a man named Ur, okay? So what did they do? This is what I want to do. I want my three guys that I asked to help me out this morning to come forward at this time. So Joseph is our Moses, and he's got Aaron and Hur with him this morning. So let's give it up for these guys. Come on, guys. So Moses, stand right there. Then get Hur, and I don't care, look out to the congregation. So anyway, Moses, his arms were getting tired, and here's the cool thing. Hur and Aaron were bright. They realized that, wow, when you have your arms up, we're winning. When you put your hands down, we're losing. So these guys figured that out. So what did they do? It says in Scripture they went and they found a rock. So, and then they told Moses, sit on it, Moses. So sit on the rock. Okay? And by the way, Moses, here's your staff. And then what did they do? It tells us in Scripture that they raised his arms, and come on, act like you're enthusiastic about it. Raised his arms, and guess what happened? They had victory. Has everybody got the picture? The whole battle depended on Moses holding up the staff of God. It was all contingent upon this, the presence of God, the power of God, the provision of God, okay? But here's the problem. The only way he could do that is through having the help of two wonderful people. It was because of them that the battle was won. So let's give it up for these guys. I'll take the staff with you, okay? I'm going to hold on to the staff anyway. What I want us to see in this story this morning, it's going to be very simple. You can't miss it. I want you to see this morning the great value of having the support of other people. And that's where I expected to hear an amen. So let me say it again. I want everybody to see the great value of having the support of other people. Amen. And that includes everyone who didn't say amen. All of us need the support of other people. Because how many people know life isn't always easy? There's times where it's difficult. It's times where it's challenging. There's times like things that happened this week happen. There's times where we need other people. And I want to let you know, oftentimes the success in these times, many times, is dependent upon the support of other people. Having support makes a big difference in life. And I just want to sit in silence for about 3 seconds, and I want you to hear that again. Having the support of other people makes a big difference in life. And I don't know about something about when you're young, maybe you don't totally buy into that because you feel like you're invincible. You feel like you're strong. You haven't. But I tell you what, something about entering the 50s. Oh my, the 50s are here already. But there's something that makes you realize that having the support of others makes a big difference. It's essential. It's necessary. I was thinking about the Academy Awards, and I've never watched the show in my life, but I kind of get the gist of the show. They give out the what? They give out what award? Show the next picture. They give out the Oscar. And I know oftentimes our attention is given towards who? The best actor, the best actress. They get an Oscar. And what happens, we're all excited about that person. We give them all the accolades. We give all them the applause. We say how great they are. But how many people know there's also an Oscar given to who? The best supporting. Am I right on? The best supporting actor. The best supporting actress. See, those are the people who make it possible for those guys in the limelight, in the leading roles to do what they do. Without the support, the movie wouldn't be nearly as great. The show wouldn't nearly be as great. Those people wouldn't be as great because here's the deal. We all need support. We all need support. So gently and lovingly look to the person on your right and say, you need support. Did you enjoy that? Now look to the person on your left and say, you need support. You need support. I was thinking another realm this week. Okay, well, you're done. I'll talk again. Here's another thing I was thinking this week is in the area of athletics. A lot of us love athletics. You know, we hear of the Heisman Trophy, the best college football player. We hear of MVPs, the most valuable player. And I was actually thinking about that this week. There was a guy that I kind of enjoy watching play. Let's show his picture, the next picture. Has anybody ever seen this guy before? Everybody say Steph Curry. Okay, that's who that is. And he's recently won back-to-back MVPs. But it always amazes me. I watched the first press conference, the first MVP he won. I wanted to make sure I was at home. I watched the first press conference. And it's funny because he is introduced as the MVP, but over to his right is everyone on his team. There's 14 other guys. Then in the front row, you see family members. You see friends. You see spouses and children. And the very first thing that many of these people say who win these awards is they do what? They give credit to what? A great supporting cast. I love Steph Curry at that first one. He said something for about 5 minutes about every one of those players, about their support. But my favorite comments that day were directed towards his father. If you don't know his father's name is Del Curry. He was also an NBA player. And Steph Curry talked about, I wouldn't be here today unless it was for my dad, the support of my father. He said, when I was younger, I didn't have much strength, I used to shoot my shot all the way down here at my chest. And he said, one day, one summer, my dad came to me and he said, if you want to be great, you're going to have to learn how to release the ball from over your head. And he said, it was so painful and I was so mad at my dad for several weeks as he said, you can't do it the old way. And he began to teach him a new way. But he said, it was the support of my dad. It was the support of my parents. It was the support that he showed his wife and his kids. It was the support of them that made a difference, made me who I am today. I want to say today to every person, if you're serious about reaching your potential, if you're serious about wanting to do something great, especially if you want to do something great for God, I want to suggest to you, you're not going to do it alone. I'm going to suggest to you that you need to open your eyes and realize that it's through the support of other people that you're going to be able to reach your potential. And I'm learning this more in my life. I don't know why. I might be a little slow in my learning. At 54, I'm realizing that if I'm going to do what I want to do, if I'm going to reach the things that God has called me to do, I can't do it alone. Is anybody like me, by the way? You're kind of a maverick. But how many people know that even Lone Ranger had Tonto? Or you know what I'm talking about. How many people know that even Batman had who? Robin. All these great people. Folks, all these, they even Superman had Kryptonite. Okay. That kills him anyway. Can you tell I don't watch much TV? I'm a child of the 70s when your parents told you, go outside and find something to do. You know what I mean? We didn't watch TV, so my mother would say, just find something to do. Like what? Just do it, okay? So we didn't watch a lot of movies. So anyway, I messed that one up. But anyway, what I'm trying to say, if you're going to reach your potential, you need other people. If you're going to go through hurtful times successfully, you're going to need other people. Can I challenge us this morning to include other people in our lives? See, that was one of the beautiful things about Tuesday morning over to Meyer Middle School. It was beautiful to see all those counselors come in from every area of school, right? Every school in River Falls. It was great to see all the pastors come in. It was great to see the administration, the superintendent. It was great. It was great to see this family of people in such a difficult time gather together. And there was just such a power of unity, of working together, that made that day, as awful as it was, a day that was bearable. We need other people. And I keep saying it this morning because I'm not sure we get it yet. I'm not sure that we understand the value of we need our spouse. I'm not sure if we know the value of God has given you somebody. He has given you your spouse. He's given you your children. He's given you people. He's given us gifts and talents. I mean, look in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12 where it talks about we have all got a spiritual gift, but we need all those gifts to work together for the church to be the full expression of what it's supposed to be. Is everybody hearing me this morning? We need other people. Thank you. We need other people. Listen to what the wisest man, does anybody know who the wisest man to ever live was except for Jesus? Solomon. I want you to look at some of the words of Solomon in verse chapter 4. And this is what we usually read at weddings, but I think it's so much bigger than that, which it would certainly include that. Let's read it. It says, two people are better off than one. Why? For they can help each other. Everybody say this word together. Succeed. Stop. You're not going to succeed to your fullest measure by yourself. You need other people. If one person falls, the other can reach out and do what? Everybody say it together. Help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Let's go to the next verse. A person standing alone can be attacked. They can be defeated. But two can stand back to back and do what? Conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I didn't have this in my notes because it was a late thought that came to my mind. There's a Zambinian proverb. I want you to listen to this proverb. It says, when you run alone, you run fast. Just so I know you get that, can you all repeat that? When you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. Wow. And if you're like me, sometimes I'm like, I don't have time for other people. I can do more faster by not having other people with me. But how many people know that's foolish? Here's the way. Together, you run further. You have more impact. You make more difference. Folks, we live in America. We're told that you're strong. You're mighty. You can do it. You have all the, you have what it takes. I'm here today to tell you, you don't have all it takes to reach your full potential. Yes, you can reach certain heights by yourself, but everybody who has done something beneficial, if you look a little deeper, if you look below the surface, what you're going to find is that each person, hands down, had other people that they attributed their success to. They need other people. So I don't care if you're the biggest rock star, the greatest hero, I don't care what you're saying, we need other people. Are you getting it yet this morning? I know I'm being redundant, but I'm being redundant with a purpose. And that is, you need other people to succeed. You need other people in difficult times. So let me close with two closing questions. Two questions for you to consider. By the way, these are on back of your notes or in back of on the back page of what you were given this morning. My first question I want you to take home, and I want you to take this home this week, and would you have the courage to sit in quietness and answer this question. Would you have the courage to take this into your quiet time with Jesus and answer this question? Number one, who are you supporting? Another way of saying it is, whose arms are you holding up? Who are you helping through a difficult time? The next question is this, who are you helping to achieve success? Who are you helping? Who are you supporting? Whose arms are you holding up? I think God wants us to be involved with other people's lives. I think God wants us to be involved with other people who are hurting. I believe that God wants us to help other people to succeed. You may not be the one that gets the limelight. You may not be the one that gets all the attention, the accolades, the applause, the fanfare. But who is it that behind the scenes that nobody would ever know about you're supporting? You're holding up their arms. You're saying, hey, go for it. Hey, I'm there for you. I'm praying for you. What do you need? You know what? I've been in ministry for probably about 27 years. And I want to let you know one of my biggest regrets, because how many people know hindsight is 20/20? One of my biggest regrets as a youth pastor is I became so involved with what I was responsible for. And if I had to do it all over again, I would walk in my pastor's office, both pastors, and say, you know what, pastor, whatever you need, I'm your man. Whatever's your vision, I'm on board. But we get so involved in our own things, our own silos, our own agendas. But who is it you're supporting? You're going out of your way. You're going the extra mile. You're helping. You know they're hurting. You know they have a dream. They have a vision. Who's the person you're saying, I'm going to help you? You're going to succeed because of me. Not directly because of me, but I'm going to be there for you. Question number two, who is supporting you? Who's holding up your arms during the difficult times? Or are you trying to do that all alone? Who is helping you to achieve your success? Can you identify any people in your life, in your circle relationships, who's helping you to hold up your hands and fight for you? Who is supporting you? And I think there's the challenge of church is there's a lot of people saying no one. There's no one. I'm going hard times. I'm going through, I have a dream, but no one's there. We need to find people. Amen. We need to find people. Is everybody hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. This young lady's agreeing with me. We need others. Is everybody with me this morning? So here's your homework this morning. Actually, this week. Let someone who is supporting you either through a difficult time or through a time of success, let them know how much you appreciate them. I want everybody to do this week. We're not here just to preach sermons. If you know there's somebody supporting you, I want you to get offensive about it. I want you to send them a text. If you don't text, send them a good old-fashioned card. Remember when we used to write things out with a pen? It still works, by the way. I want you to send an email. I think it's time that the body of Christ say, you know what? I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. I want to say publicly today that I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for Heather. I haven't always been the easiest husband, but I'm grateful for a woman that prays and reads God's word. Amen? So I want you this week, I want you to be proactive. How many people say, I'll be proactive this week? I want you to find, this side, good. How about over here? Anyone, any takers over here? Any takers? I beg you, I plead. I put the staff of God on your behalf this morning, but how many people will say, give somebody a word of appreciation this week and say, you know what? I couldn't have done it without you. You know what? When I was going through a hard time, thank you for listening. When I was going through a hard time, thank you for taking time to pray. Thank you for sending those cookies to the house. Come on now. Thank you. And all I want to say in review this morning, and I know sometimes I just get so redundant because I want this to become not a sermon, but a reality. You'll go further when you have the support of other people. You'll go further than you ever thought when you have other people. There's only so far you can go by yourself. Embrace other people. And if you get it, say, I got it. By the way, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, the most important person you need to include in every area of your life is who? Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about, do you have a relationship with Jesus that's real, knowing that he is with you every step of the way? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your life to be the Savior, the Lord of your life? That's the starting point. That's the first person all of us need in our lives. Amen? And then we need other people, other people. See, I look around this room this morning in closing, I see a room full of amazing potential. I see a room full of amazing potential. I see a room full of people who have dreams, visions, aspirations. But I want to let you know you're going to need other people to achieve those things. Don't try to do it alone. Amen? Well, thank you. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Can you repeat with me after prayer? Can you repeat after me? Father, I thank you for your Son. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your power, your provision, and your presence. Father, I thank you for other people. So, Lord, help me not to live my life alone. But, Lord, help me to be dependent upon others. Help me not to be proud, but help me to include other people. When I'm hurting, when I'm going after a dream, Lord, put people in my life, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Just want to encourage you, do your homework this week. Do not just leave the service today thinking the sermon's over. Find somebody. Thank somebody. Include other people in your life. You'll go much further. You'll go much further. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you on Easter Sunday. Thank you for being here.